This new chapter, the eighth chapter of Masechet Bava Basra, deals in great detail with all the laws of inheritance. The laws of inheritance are an interesting set of laws. As Lloyd pointed out the other day, it's not the way inheritance is in most countries nowadays. You know, we live after the feminist revolutions and all sorts of ideas about inheritance. But the Torah actually has a very specific order of inheritance that is spelled out in the end of the book of Bamidbar. And that's what these Mishnayos are dealing with. And what we're going to learn is that this order of inheritance steps in unless a person created a halachic will, namely a process where right before he actually died, he transfers assets to different children. As we learned, there's something called Shchiv Mara, dying man can give away assets even just by his words. But absent that type of a halachic will, we are stuck with the order of inheritance of the Torah. Now, just to mention a couple of things, I heard these on the shir of Rabbi Elefant on this daf. You know, the Rambam actually counts inheritance as a mitzvah. In his list of mitzvahs haseh, it's actually mitzvah 248. The Rambam counts inheritance. It'll be the last of the mitzvahs haseh, right. So that's a strange thing. What do you mean it's a mitzvah? It happens automatically. Person dies, automatically his son now inherits him. And if he doesn't have a son, his father inherits him. If he doesn't have a father, his brother from his father inherits him. So what do you mean it's a mitzvah of inheritance? The Sefer HaChinuch explains in the Rambam that it's a mitzvah on Beis Din. That Beis Din has to deal with disputes. If there's a dispute about money and about the money of the deceased, Beit Din has to follow the order of inheritance in the psukim in Parshas Matos and in these Mishnayos. And this order of inheritance is what Beis Din needs to follow. However, the Minchas Chinuch has another explanation in the Rambam. The Minchas Chinuch suggests that sometimes, even when it's not to do something, the very fact that there is a certain system, and that's the system that we follow, and the system was set out by God in the Torah, that itself is called a mitzvah. So, for example, the Rambam has a mitzvah of tumah, of impurity. So what do you mean, a dead lizard is a mitzvah? No, the fact is that when a dead lizard touches a person, he then becomes tameh, becomes impure, that the dead lizard is in the airspace of an earthenware vessel, the earthenware vessel is impure. These laws, these ways of acting are called a mitzvah, even though it's not a get up and do something. So maybe the Rambam counts inheritance as a mitzvah, because these are laws that are to be followed. This is the way Jews inherit, and the Torah sketches it out. When the Torah specifies how a certain aspect of life should be dealt with, that is also called a mitzvah. But then there are those who suggest that maybe there's another way to understand it, and that gets to a basic idea in terms of inheritance as a whole. We know that there is something called kinyanim, an acquisition. I take a phone, I want to give it to Baruch, so I hand it over to Baruch, Baruch lifts it up, Baruch pulls it from me, then it becomes Baruch's. Inheritance doesn't require an act of acquisition. We wouldn't say that the child only owns his father's field if the child built a fence around the field. Automatically, once the father dies, the child owns it. So there are really two ways of understanding that. Is it that the father is transferring the field over to the son? Maybe the Torah transfers the field over to the son? Or maybe the child is an extension of the father. That the child becomes the new father. The field stays where it is, But now the child, he is the extension of the father. So he inherits in the sense that he takes the place of the father. A very famous example that the post can give for this question was there was a father who took a lot of assets, and he said, these assets are for charity. He set them aside as a charity fund. But he still wanted to have the right to decide who he would give the charity to. It was a lot of money, but he liked to give out charity. So he was in charge of this fund. He was deciding who to give the charity to. Then he passed away. So would the son now have the right to choose who to give the charity to? It's not the father's money, but the father was the one who was deciding who to give the charity to. So if you say that inheritance is that the father transfers some type of financial right to the son, what the father owns, the father now hands over in his death to his son. There's nothing to hand over here. There's nothing tangible. You can only hand over something tangible. But if you say that the father, when he dies, his son is the father, the son now extends the father. Who's the father? The son. He's the one who takes over for the father. So then the son would have the right to determine who the monies of the charity fund go to, the same way the father had that right, because the son extends the father. I once heard a shiur from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein of blessed memory. He quoted Rav Dov Schwartzman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Beis HaTalmud in Israel, who wanted to distinguish between different types of relatives. He said, maybe if a brother inherits his brother, so we wouldn't say that the brother is the brother. That's a transfer. But if a son inherits the father, the son would be an extension of the father. And he brought a proof to this from a Gemara back in Masechet Nazir. The Gemara says in Masechet Nazir that if a father is a Nazir and a son is a Nazir, so a Nazir is he took a vow that he can't cut his hair and he can't go into a cemetery and he can't drink any wine for, let's say, 30 days. And at the end of the 30 days, he has to bring sacrifices. So the father was a Nazir and he separated animals for his vow. Then the father passed away. Meanwhile, his son is also a Nazir. So the Gemara says in Masechet Nazir that the son can use his father's sacrifices. Normally, I can't use anybody else's sacrifices. But in regards to Nazir, the Gemara says a son can use his father's sacrifices. He was also a Nazir. So what do you mean he inherits the father's sacrifices? So that's what Rabbi Schwartzman suggested, that there it's because the son is an extension of the father. So since the son continues the father, that's why the son can bring the sacrifices of the father. It's as if the son is the father. But that's maybe only true about a son. Maybe in regards to other relatives, it's not that there is an extension of the deceased, but rather the deceased's property is being transferred over to the relative. So some wanted to suggest that maybe these questions also impact the Rambam. The Rambam again says that inheritance is a mitzvah. What a strange thing. How is it a mitzvah? It's happening automatically. But maybe if we say that it's some type of a process whereby the father is transferring over the money to his son, albeit that it happens automatically, that also maybe is called a mitzvah, because that is an act of some sort. And on that level, the Rambam calls it a mitzvah. But again, we are going to learn now chapter Yeshnochlim. We're going to get very into the topics of inheritance. And the first daf is actually a very short and relatively simple daf.
That's not a mitzvah.
That's true.
I still don't understand why the Bezdin has a mitzvah to do his Bezdin job. That's his job. What's the
But it's maybe
what's the mitzvah about?
The mitzvah is that they do it in this way, that they not make up their own rules, that they carry out the rules of the Torah and the order of the Torah's law.
Okay, because of the following the rules? Okay, maybe. Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
Okay, so now the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Yesh nochalin. There are those who inherit their relative. Let's say a son. If a father dies, the son inherits the father. U-manchilim. But not only do they inherit their relative, they bequeath to their relative. If a son dies and he doesn't have any children, then his father inherits him. Yesh, then there are relatives that nochlin, they inherit their relative, v'lo manchilim, but the person they inherit from, they would not bequeath to. Then there are manchilim, there are those who bequeath, v'lo nochlin, but they would not inherit them, even though there is a deep relationship between the two. And then you have relatives that they are related. They're related perhaps in regards to the laws of Gilui Arayot, prohibited liaisons, but lo nochlin, but they would not inherit each other. They would not inherit v'lo manchilin, nor would they bequeath. Okay, so now let's go through some examples. The elu nochlin u'manchilin. Here are relatives that inherit one from the other. So he inherits from his relative, and to that same relative he would bequeath. What are the examples? Ha'av es habanim, a father with his sons. So that would be that if the sons died without children, the father inherits their money. And if the father dies, then the children inherit his money. Similarly, v'habanim esav, children to their father. They inherit from their father, and if they die, they bequeath to their father. V'achim in ha'av, another example of relatives that inherit one from the other. He inherits from his relative, he also bequeaths to his relative, would be brothers from the same father, even if they have different mothers. As long as the brothers have the same father, they would inherit one from the other. As we're going to see, the Torah talks about the father's family being the main family. Mishpachas av kruya mishpacha, being related through the father, is being related. Mishpachas ein, being related through the mother, ein a kruya mishpacha, is not considered being related in regards to inheritance. So all of these are nochlin u'manchilin. They inherit and they bequeath. So a father inherits his son, he bequeaths to his son. A son inherits his father, he bequeaths to his father. Two brothers from the same father, even if they're from different mothers, let's say Yosef with Yehuda, Yosef would inherit Yehuda. If Yehuda dies, if Yosef died, Yehuda would inherit Yosef if they didn't have sons and if they didn't have a father alive anymore. Yeah, question? Right.
But the ima had Nechse Barzel. Is this coming to who?
Her children.
Her children.
Her children, not the others.
Not to him and not to his.
Oh, no, no, we'll see. Well, the wife's money first goes to the husband if he's alive. If the husband's alive, the husband inherits.
But if not, husband will be the same case like here.
Go to her children. Yeah, we'll see that.
Okay.
So, Rabbi, if the father dies and has no sons, it goes to the wife and
no,
the daughter,
doesn't go to his wife. His wife doesn't inherit, no.
Okay, so how about the daughters?
Also not. Oh, no, yeah, if he has no sons, it'll go to the daughters, yeah.
Two daughters, but would, I mean, if the daughters are married, they already had their ketubas, so
they'll still get.
They still get the thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it belongs to the wife, not to the son-in-law.
No.
Yes, correct.
No.
Yeah, but whatever belongs to his wife.
I mean, the daughter, not the daughter.
Yeah, but whatever belongs to a wife, the husband has the right to use to get the fruits.
Does have the right then.
Yeah, he gets the fruits from it.
That's why I need a prenup.
With the wife, I mean, we need to have it. They're not children.
No. Have a brother.
This
is his father.
So the wife would never inherit.
Wife does not inherit. No.
She gets the ketubah, and if she's poor, she gets some money to live. That's
right. So then the Mishnah says there are those that are nochlin, that bequeath, that inherit velo manchilim, but they do not bequeath. Ha'ish esimo. A man will inherit his mother if his mother dies. Let's say she was divorced or widowed. So her son will inherit her. V'ha'ish es ishto. This is the point that everybody's talking about. A husband will inherit his wife. But if the husband dies, he does not bequeath to his wife. Uvnei achayos. And the children of sisters. What's the case of children of sisters? So the Rashbam's first case is that children of sisters is the aunt, the sister of his mother. So he inherits his mother. So let's say his mother had a sister without any children. So when she dies, her property goes to her sister, ends up going to her sister, because it would go up to her father, but he's not alive, so then go down to her, to his daughter, because he doesn't have sons. So then the daughter's not alive, so it would go to the grandson. So a person might inherit his aunt, but he could never bequeath to the aunt, because we have a rule that mishpacha se'im in a kruya mishpacha. Family through the mother is not family. So that's the first explanation of the Rashbam.
Does it go up first? If son dies and he has a son and he has a father, does it go up first? Or goes
yeah, it would go up. That's called mishmush. Mishmush, well, it doesn't always. It may not be the same with brothers, but with all the other relatives, that's the way it works. That the
Rabbi, who supersedes who? The immediate family or a will that the dead person
the
writes?
Will would have more power.
So if he puts a will that the money goes to the shul, then it goes to the shul. It doesn't go to the whoever the inheritance are, right?
Yeah.
Is that going against the Torah? Is that a sin?
Mm. Yeah, sin? It's a sin. If he does it the right way, it's not a sin.
Yes, do it the right way. So.
Yeah.
But I have a problem with this. Not that I have a problem to leave to the kach, as Mishalom is saying, but Taniyeh Betecha, Bifne, you know, so if the Av give it only Yerusha to Tzedakah,
right.
His kids is Aniyim.
Yeah.
He, it's okay. The Yerusha got it, but he's not Mekayem, Taniyeh Betecha.
It's true. No? That's true.
No.
That would be true. That's true.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they didn't put the death tax 10% to the shul. You know, here.
Give me the money. Give me the
this
money.
Is one explanation of the Rashbam that Bnei Achayos refers to an aunt. Another explanation is the children of the sister. Right. Let's say you have Reuven and Dina. So Dina, let's say, has sons. So Dina has sons. It could be that Dina would inherit, according to the Rashbam, Dina could inherit her brother. And her children would then get the money from her. But if her children die, then Reuven would not be able to inherit them because Dina doesn't inherit them because she's a mother. Mother doesn't inherit her children. And rather, it would be her husband's relatives who inherit her children. And that, the Rashbam thinks, is the more likely explanation of this Mishnah.
So the wife doesn't get anything, goes to
the mother. The mother doesn't get it. Mother does not inherit her children. A father can inherit his children, but
it
not
goes
a mother.
To his father's
relatives.
Relative.
Yeah.
So the mother, if she needs money, she has to go get from them. That's how it works.
Maybe.
It's not a good.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, question, David.
If mother passes away, her children inherit her?
If there's nobody yet. Yeah, her children will inherit her.
That's her husband first.
The other way around.
Right.
The husband first, though.
Her husband first, but if not the husband, then her sons, right? So these are cases of Nochlin where they inherit, velo manchilin, but they do not bequeath. Now, Ha'isha Esbaneha, let's say the children die in regards to the mother, or Ha'isha Esbala, if a husband dies in regards to the wife, or brothers who share a mother, so man, or the brothers of the mother, So then, manchilin, they bequeath. The lo nochlin, but they do not inherit, right? The wife does not inherit her husband who dies, but if she dies, she bequeaths to the husband.
But she could take her money, her ketubah money, out of the inheritance first before it goes to the.
That's earth. True. That's right? True. That's true. Right. So again, if a child dies, the wife, the mother, does not inherit her child, but if the mother dies, the child inherits the mother. If a husband dies, the wife does not inherit the husband, but if the wife dies, the husband inherits the wife. And when you have brothers of the mother, so if she dies, they would inherit her, but if they die, she does not inherit them. So in all these cases, manchilin, you have bequeathing, velo nochlin, but not inheriting. Now, if you have siblings because they share the same mother, lo nochlin velo manchilin. So siblings who are siblings just because they share the same mother, they do not inherit each other, nor do they bequeath to each other. Because the Torah says, mishpachas av kriya mishpacha, family from father is called family. Mishpachas aim in a kruya mishpacha, family through the same mother, does not have the status of family in regards to the laws of inheritance.
Rabbi, do they still follow these rules from nowadays? No, they don't.
So usually people create a halachic will, so they'll, right before they die, they will transfer as a gift money to their daughters and
before they die,
things like that, right? Because otherwise you have the issue
of the, you know, the,
of the,
no more money.
The civil laws of the local, right?
Well, this is not like business. In business, we said that whatever is minhag ha-medina is the normally assumed practice. In regards to inheritance, it's not like that. We wouldn't say that minhag ha-medina overrules the Torah. The Torah says very clearly and very explicitly what the order of inheritance should be, and that would be the law. The minhag ha-medina cannot overrule that. But a person can create a tzava, they can create a last will and testament using the tools of giving away property to end up with his, you know, with a different result that he can do.
When we make a will, we should go to, we just don't go to any lawyer, that's
good. There's a good website, it's called jlaw.com by a certain religious lawyer, Menachem Kasdan, I think is his name, and he has lots of forms of the halachic wills. There's other forms too, he has Heter Iska forms, and but jlaw.com, he has the various halachic wills also. Yeah, question.
I'm sorry.
So correct.
My question is, when the wife bring the thing that belongs to her, Bala Mishtamesh, he passed away.
Okay.
He passed away. No children.
Okay.
Where is this Nechassim to her father? Or to, if she is not father,
They'll go to her father or her brothers. Her brothers will get it from her. Achim min ha'im. These are two brothers who share the same mother, not the brother of the mother. There's achei ha'im, brothers of the mother, and then there's achim min ha'im, brothers from, you know, from a mother. Okay, so yeah, let me, yeah, question, please.
Do we know if it's on a side thing? But do we know if it's ever been challenged? Like, if there's an observant Orthodox person who's lived his life by the Torah and the Gemara and didn't have a will, and said, and when he died, the family said, "We're following this." Has it ever been challenged in a court to say that this is the way he lived and this is his intention?
I'm sure there are lawsuits about it, but I think this is the right way it should be followed. If he didn't leave a will.
Bigger the money, more lawsuits.
In other words, that's not it. It's just like the daughter doesn't get anything.
The daughter doesn't get, correct.
So would the courts challenge it for the daughter? Would the daughter?
I don't know. I don't know. Probably depends on who, which state, and which jurisdiction.
That's a different story. I've tried that out a couple of cases. Anytime you ever want to say to somebody, go to the Bendy, they go, no.
They don't go to Benzin.
No, because they know they're going to lose.
No, they go to Benzin.
Benzin.
That's a difference.
I've never seen the case where they want to go to Benzin.
They burn each other up.
They'll never agree.
Jewish lightning.
Yeah,
all right, well, now we begin with the Gemara. Again, the Mishnah says, Yesh nochlen u'manchilin, there are relatives who inherit, they also bequeath. Yesh nochlen v'lo manchilin, there are relatives that inherit but do not bequeath. Manchilin v'lo nochlen, there are relatives that bequeath but do not inherit. And then there are lo nochlen v'lo manchilin, relatives who don't inherit, nor do they bequeath. Now, whenever you have a list, you can sometimes start by explaining the last case, or sometimes start by explaining the first case. So the Mishnah went back to explain the first case. It said, Yesh nochlen u'manchilin. What's an example of someone who inherits and also would bequeath? Ha'aves ha'banim, a father with children. So a father would inherit his child. If the father dies, the father would bequeath to the child. So the Gemara asks, "Ma'ishna de katani aves habanim bereisha? Why would the first case, the first scenario, be a father who inherits his children? Listen, it's very sad, a father inheriting his children. Listen, it should have said habanim esav bereisha. First, the child who inherits the father, and that's for several reasons. The first word is chalute bepuranus alom etchalina. Why should we begin with a real tragic case of a child dying during the lifetime of his father? We don't like tragedy. Vod kedichsiv. And furthermore, the psukim in Parshas Nachlos actually seem to talk first about a father. The first thing it says is, ish ki yamus, if a father dies. Then it says, really, uven einlo, if he doesn't have a son, it goes to the daughter. Implying if he did have a son, it would go to the son. So why begin the Mishnah with this tragic case? And also, it's not the order of the Psukim. So the Gemara gives the answer. Vitana, you know what the Tana of our Mishnah was thinking? The Tana prefers the things that are not explicit in the Pasuk. The Pasuk explicitly says that if a father dies, his son inherits, and if he doesn't have a son, his daughter inherits. But to go the other way, that if the son dies, the father inherits. That's not explicit, that we had to derive. And whatever we derive, that's most exciting, because that took effort, that took an investigation, there was a discovery of a new idea. So that's what the Tana mentions first.
Oh, so that's not in the Torah.
It's not explicit in the Torah. It's in the Torah, but we had to figure it out. So the Gemara says, Umay drasha. So what exactly is the drasha that teaches us that a father inherits his son? So the Gemara answers, it's the following. The Tanya Lindin Abraisa, the Pasuk says, V'nasatim es nachlaso, v'sheira akarov elov, mi mishpachto v'yarashos son, give his inheritance to his relative who's closest to him from his family, and he will inherit the inheritance. Sheiro, the relative, ze'av, that's the father. Malamed sha'av kodem la'achim, that a father is the one who comes before brothers. From the fact that it says She'ero, his relative. In other words, the very idea...
So what did they use to derive that? The 13...
Which methodology? I guess just an extra pasuk, extra words. So the Braisa continues. Now, we're saying it's from the word she'ero. She'ero means his relative. Somehow we're saying that the father is the closest relative. Yachol yehei kodem leben. So maybe the father is the closest relative. He should inherit even when there's a son. Tam aloma, that's what the pasuk says. Hakarov, the closest. Karov, karov, kodem. The closer the relative, he's the first one who has the chance to inherit. So if there's a son, the son inherits. If there's no son, the father. If there's no father, the brother.
I thought it goes, if there's no son, it goes to the daughter. That's the whole limit.
Right, yeah.
Son,
right.
Then daughter, then father, right?
Yeah. Son, if not son, then a daughter. If not a daughter, then the father. If not a father, then the brother.
Rabbi, these are all from Torah or the Rabbanim,
Torah.
Is our Torah the
wrong? So the Gemara asks, why do you say that a son comes first even before a brother? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. If a person buys an Amma Ivriya, a Jewish maid, so he's allowed to now live with her as husband and wife. The purchase money that he gave to her father can also be repurposed as Kesef Kiddushin. He can even have his son live with her as a wife, as a husband and wife. Not that he and the son do it, just the son could do it. That's called Yiyud. So the fact that a son can take the place of father, father gave the money, but the son can step in, that's a sign that the son is very close to father. Now we have a law that if a person has an inherited field that he has back to the days of Yeshua ben Nun, if he sanctifies it, he can redeem it. If he didn't redeem it until Yovel, that's it. It's going to be gone from the family. If some other person redeemed it, it also will be gone from the family come Yovel. But if the son redeems it, that's considered as if the father redeemed it, and it will go back to the family in Yovel. It stays in the family during Yovel. So you see that the son is very close to the father, whereas other relatives don't have that status. A brother doesn't have that status. A brother who redeems a field that his brother sanctified, that's considered like the field went to some other person, and come Yovel, the field would be given away to the Kohanim. So Gemara says, Adar Abba, maybe I should say the opposite. Mar Bani Asa'ach, I should have included brother as She'eiro HaKarov Eilav. She'kein Kam Tach HaSachiv LiYibum, because brother can fill in for the other brother and do Yibum if the brother dies without children. So the Gemara says, no, Klum Yesh Yibum Elo B'makom She'ein Ben. You only have Yibum where there's no son. But if there is a son, there's no mitzvah of Yibum because there's a very close relative. So therefore we say that the son comes first. The Gemara says, Taima Dika Hai Pircha. The only reason why you gave this reason that the son should come before the brother is because of this question. But if not for this question, Hav Amina would have said, Ach Ad, if brother is more than a son, but here, in regards to the brother, there's only one reason to say he's very close. Yibum. In regards to a son, there are two reasons to say he's very close. Yiud and Steachuza. So when I said no, Steachuza gufa me'ai taimahu. The reason why Steachuza, we say the son is the extension of the father. And if he buys the Steachuza back from Hektish, it's as if the father brought it back from the Temple Trust. And if a brother, though, buys it from the Temple Trust, it's as if a foreigner bought it. It's from this very reason about Yibum. That's why the Tana knows it. Klum Yesh Yibum, El B'makom She'ein Ben, Hayesh Ben, Ein Yibum.
If he doesn't have his own son, okay, but he has adopted son, would that be the same rules and regulations?
No.